I'm assuming that you are going to be demonstrating the don't laugh at me curricula.
That'll be part of what we do. We'll also be looking together at the kinds of issues that kids face in socially and emotionally, and the challenges that they face in being in school, and our collective desire to create safe and caring environments for kids. That a broader perspective than the program itself. The program is an introduction to what we think is good work. There are tools to offer to teachers and educators and folks to work in the classroom and in schools that include music, of course, since we're an organization founded by Peter Yarrow, Peter, Paul, and Mary. So it'll be that broad perspective and then offering of tools to use in classrooms. And the hope is that some people take it back and use it. And we'll support that, too, in an ongoing way.
So describe the conduct of the workshop you'll be doing in Murray.
We'll be gathering, let's say, for a full day together. And so we'll be doing an introduction, as I say, to the work of what we call social and emotional learning and character education. Since bullying is such a prominent issue, and it's kind of the maybe worst-case scenario of what we see in schools, we'll be looking at bullying from, again, a broad perspective, but then we'll be looking at community building, and that's what the Don't Laugh at Me curriculum is all about. We have teacher guides and videos and music, and so we'll be exploring the four thematic areas of the curriculum, which will be expressing feelings, building a climate of cooperation and compassion and community, looking at the conflict and conflict resolution and offering tools around those issues and what comes up in, again, schools and classrooms. And finally, celebrating and understanding diversity, which is a key factor in how people pick on each other and put each other down. That is, people's group identity is often a jumping-off point for people not getting along, but it's also a way to build an understanding of it, builds community in a powerful way. And we've been doing this all over the world for more than 10 years since Peter found an amazing song called Don't Laugh at Me. That's why it's called the Don't Laugh at Me program, because Steve Seskin and Alan Shamblin wrote an amazing song that's kind of the centerpiece for what started all this for us. And the chorus goes, don't laugh at me, don't call me names, don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. And that's the chorus. And then the verses are about kids who are struggling. And I'll just do with a brief. When a little boy with glasses, the one they call a geek, a little girl who never smiles because I've got braces on my teeth, last line. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep.
Mark, how did you get into this work?
I was a school principal, for 20 years. I want to, as I said that, I'm thinking, well, it probably goes back to my own childhood. We all had feelings of not belonging and feeling other. And I remember the moments when I went off to my new high school, which had 5,000 students in Brooklyn, New York, and feeling like, wow, how am I going to be able to do this? What will it be like? And it was scary. It actually turned out to be okay. And two guys in the cafeteria said, who are seniors, said, we're not going to beat you up. Come on and sit with us for lunch. And it actually kicked it off in a great way. And I often tell kids it doesn't have to be terrible, but sometimes it is. So it goes back for me on a personal level. And then as a principal, trying to create schools that were safe and caring and supportive for young people. And then meeting Peter Yarrow and being able to translate that into work that we could do from Hong Kong to right now. I'm in Israel, I'm in Tel Aviv, and we have 50 schools that are doing the Don't Laugh at Me program. And we're on our way to Jerusalem and the West Bank, and we have schools there too. Curriculum's been translated into Hebrew and Arabic, songs also with three languages, English, Hebrew, and Arabic. So it's really taken off, I guess you'd say, but in a way that where it just keeps going. Sometimes you think when something takes off, it's going to end, but people seem to want it, and I look forward to offering it at Murray State.
Tell me more about the Educators for Social Responsibilities Resolving Conflict Creatively program.
After Peter, Paul, and Mary sang the Don't Laugh at Me song to a group of 6,000 principals, the principal said to him, give us the song, but give us something to go with that song, something we can do in our schools. And Peter went to friends of his. McGraw-Hill was one, and they offered to actually publish it and support it, and they still do. But he also went to Educators for Social Responsibility. They've been around for 25 or 30 years, and they had a great research-based program called Resolving Conflict Creatively. And Linda Lantieri, Tom Roderick, Larry Derringer, these are all people he sat down with, Laura Parker Reardon. They sat down and they actually created the teacher guide, which they all saw as people need something to start to do this work. It became an introduction to the work and an energizer for the work. And it's been given out free of charge, thanks to McGraw-Hill, in numbers like 100, 200,000 copies or more. And you just go on the web, operationrespect.org, and you get the teacher guide, the video, and there's now a DVD.
So you have two separate curricula.
We do. We have a 2-5 curriculum, which is for teacher guide. And also for kindergarten and first grade teachers, they've been able to adapt. So it's really an elementary school and middle school curriculum. And for high schoolers, we offer the curriculum from the middle school, not for them per se, or the elementary school, but for high schoolers to learn the curriculum and teach it to younger kids. And we've had quite a bit of success with high school youngsters creating a positive environment in their school, but then going back to the schools that for younger kids in their community and doing that work with them.
What is the best outcome you guys expect from conducting a workshop?
The best one is when people take it under their wing and they already have a sense of what they wanted to do and they start doing it in the most creative, amazing ways. Wherever we've gone, that's happened. And adapting it to the culture of their country or school or state or wherever, whatever they feel they need to do to get it to work for them. And then to search out and look for ways to carry it out and as I say, in the most amazing of ways. We do an activity that's been done for years called the Torn Heart, but people in the workshops, you know, get a chance to see it again and sometimes again and sometimes for the first time. But then they go off and they do their version of it, or the caring being, or a constitution of caring, or one school. We support the idea of bystanders becoming what we call upstanders or allies to kids who are targeted. One school took, the kids did this. They took hands and they cut them out in different colors and they made this amazing upstander tree outside the cafeteria, which were pledges of kids to take a stand and to stand up and support their fellow students to create the atmosphere that we're talking about. Sometimes it's drama productions or songs in fact, Steve Seskin does songwriting workshops, so there are some amazing, I think he's done about 100 songs with kids in schools that they actually wrote with him. Example of that would be a song that the sixth graders wrote with him, and it's called, the name of the song is We Don't Do That Here. There's nothing better than when young people decide that, and when they say this is how our school's going to be, instead of that we're telling them this is the way it should be, you have to do this. It works so much better when it's a partnership with young people.
I've never heard of Torn Heart. What is that?
It's an activity that teaches us about what we call put-downs. When we say things, we don't sometimes realize that they're put-downs and that we were hurting someone's feelings. So we tear a piece of the heart you could name a student, when Joey's mom, let's say, in the morning, she's frustrated and he's getting up late and she says something like, Joey, you're a lazy bum. You keep getting up late all the time. What's wrong with you? And the group then puts their thumb down and I'm the facilitator, so I tear off a piece of the heart. And then he goes through his day, and although it's not bullying because there's not one person picking on him all day long, but there are a whole variety of people who have made the choice to not be nice to him. And he's a suffering kid. So from his brother to his sister to the bus driver, everybody seems to have a bad word for poor Joey. But by the end, his heart is torn apart. And then we go back and try to recreate that and ask ourselves, so what might a parent say to a kid who's, you know, getting up late in the morning? You know, we all experience that. And just to kind of complete one of the things I like to I remember about this is I did a two-day workshop for teachers, and we note in the research that the first 3 minutes of a child's day can set the tone for their whole day. So we all kind of nod our heads and say, "Gee, would be nice if we just said good morning in a kind way, even when our kid is getting up late, you know, maybe day after day, but kind of try to start the day off positively." A teacher came back the second day from one of the workshops, and she said, "You know, I heard what you said, and I realized that I wasn't really very nice to my own kid in the morning. So this morning, I went into my child's bedroom, and I, in a very upbeat way, I said, 'Good morning.' And he looked at me and he said, 'What's wrong?'" And she said, "I know. I knew then that I was right on top of it, and you know, I needed to do what I was doing." And we all laughed, of course, because it was charming. So that's a piece of the torn heart.
I think you've given me a really good idea of what will transpire. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'm excited that it's going to be a nice, large group. I think they talked about maybe 200 people from, we might say, all walks of life. And that can be terrific because we can support each other and learn from what we're all doing. And I think we have a solid group of people who can, you know, build this work in the schools in and around Murray State, and that'll be terrific. So I'm really excited. And, of course, Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary is going to be there, and there's going to be a concert, and it's going to be great.